that I can't quite fathom. It's hot and miserable out, and you put the dogs outside, and they bark and whine and whelp, and they want to come in right away.
Yeah.
But when I let them outside, they have shade, they have water, but they choose to go lay on the sidewalk where you could fry eggs, and I pet them, and it'll practically burn your hand. So what the heck is up with that?
Force of habit.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Yeah, and then air conditioning, dog's best friend, is funny because you let them in the house and, you know, they're like an old Harley. They're air-cooled.
Yeah.
So they go and flop in front of the air conditioner.
Yeah. Register, yeah.
Before we get to our questions today, Dr. Winnie, I want to thank our listeners for them. When it gets hot like this, I really do feel incredibly sorry for animals, you know, be they cattle or hogs or dogs outside in the sun. Man alive. What do you think is more stressful, the hot or the cold?
Well, I'll tell you, the most stressful thing is the change. These days when there's a 50-degree temperature spread, that is absolutely killer. But for me, I think the worst is the heat.
I do, too.
You combine that with 80 or 90 or 100% humidity, and yeah, it's just a chore.
And you see those poor cattle all bunched in one corner of the pasture tight together, and they're all swaying their tails and shaking because the flies are after
keeping
them
the
also.
Flies away, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, at least when it's really, really cold, they have the good sense a lot of times to get out of the wind, you know, and they can eat enough feed to generate the heat.
Yeah.
But when it's hot, what can they do?
Oh, you got to have something. Yeah, I always tried to have people with livestock have some sort of shade. You know, I said, you know, if it's hogs, dump some water out there so you can get some mud and they can have some cooling solution and put them some shade. But you just have to pay attention. And I actually last week had a dog that got left in a car and had a stroke and bang, you know, it just makes you sick. And it wasn't all, I mean, it was hot last week, but it wasn't 100 degrees.
I know.
And then they said, well, it was only in there for 2 hours. Well,
2 hours? Honestly, that's illegal, isn't it? And if it's not, it should be.
It's, well, it's a sad thing. It's really a bad deal. And you just have to pay attention. If you're hot, your dog's hotter. Because a normal dog temperature is about 3 degrees higher than
it is.
Yeah.
You know, your advice is good, though. A wading pool. Not the kind you blow up with air, either. Yeah. The rigid kind.
Right.
And it's surprising. Dogs, even that are afraid of water.
Yeah.
When they finally figure it out, try and get them out.
When I was a kid, you know, I used to help my uncle on the farm, and he told me one day, he said, you know, the best way you can cool off is go get an old sweatshirt and stick it under the water and get it wet, soak it up, wring it out, and put it on. And believe it or not, that heat of vaporization, they call it, that it takes to evaporate
pulls the heat
water,
away, yeah.
Pulls the heat right out of your skin, and it's really amazing.
It is, truly.
But, yeah, it's the time of year where you have to be taking precautions. Make sure there's water. The water just flies this time of year.
And speaking of flies, that was going to be my next one. You're a mind reader. The horse flies on the poor dogs are getting really bad. And mosquitoes even in the evenings, too. But those flies are the worst.
Yeah, they're nasty.
Well,
the part about a horse fly particularly is that it hurts when it bites.
Boy, it sure does.
It stings.
Yeah.
And, you know, a regular fly can crawl on you and all that. But, yeah, the mosquitoes are just absolutely horrible. I don't think I've missed more than 2 or 3 nights a week, not having at least one in the house nights. And they just gang when you come in that door.
And the worst thing of all is when you're in bed and you turn off the lights and then you hear that one buzzing around. And you know that's when it's got West Nile and he's going to bite you. So.
Well, we've had actually the first West Nile fatality of the season.
Yeah, I was an elderly lady in northeastern South Dakota, I believe, is what it was. And also, they've been trapping mosquitoes here in Brookings, and they have caught mosquitoes with the virus. So, so it's out there.
Yeah.
The world would be a lot better place without mosquitoes, wouldn't it?
Makes you wonder.
Yeah. You know, we think about encephalitis and sleeping sickness and malaria and yellow fever.
They say in the world, 1 million people every year die of malaria.
A million
in the whole world. And a lot of those are kids, and a lot of them are people who are, you know, undernourished and stressed and all that. But it's a lot.
Boy, it certainly is. And again, we want to thank our listeners for the questions. We'll get to them right now. Dr. Woody, my cat's got diabetes. And how will the diabetes and insulin interact with any other conditions that my pet has, or with any other medications that may be taking?
As far as I know, unless it's some sort of an exotic medication, you don't have much trouble with a medication interaction problem. But what people don't apprehend always about diabetes is that there's a consistent kidney dysfunction. So you're going to have a cat that will have urinary dysfunction off and on right down the line. Because of the sugar.
Okay.
And the other thing is that they a lot of times go blind. And there are a lot of consequences to diabetes that people don't always apprehend. It's a curious disease. To tell you the truth, I don't have a lot of people that have the time to give them the insulin, because you have to make sure they eat in the morning. People are getting kids off to school.
Do you test them too?
Oh, yes. It's recommended that you test to see how your control is, but it's still more of an effort than a lot of people that come to me are willing to provide.
And if you don't, the end result would be what then?
Well, you don't have to treat them. You'll just have an animal that drinks and drinks and drinks and drinks and wets and wets and
wets. Until their kidneys burn up?
Well, that's accelerated, yeah. I read once years ago about this test they were doing about inflammatory cells, the white cells in your body that kill bacteria and so on. And it said that under the influence of sugar, it took 29 times more white cells to neutralize a specific given number of bacteria.
And why? Is it because the bacteria are nourished then by the glucose?
I don't know if it's that or it's because the white cells are inhibited by the sugar. But if you take that to its conclusion, you suspect that if you have a lot of extra sugar in your system, you're going to heal as well. And you're going to be more susceptible to infection.
Well, when they look for tumors in your body, one of the ways they do that is they'll inject radioactive glucose, and then they'll see where it goes, because the tumor just sucks that up, doesn't it?
Well, the tumor cell has the ability to attract blood vessels over and above any other kind of cell. And that's one of the strategies that they've used to,
defeat it.
Well, to provide drugs to beat it and to find it and a couple other things. But, there's a lot of, ketoacidosis is a problem sometimes where the body is blowing off ketones because they can't get any sugar and it's using fat as an energy source. You remember those old ketosis cows, flop down, can't stand to breathe in 10 feet of them.
Yeah, I know.
Bad deal.
It sure is. Well, I mental note, and I was going to ask you this. So my brown dog Humpy has this spot on his eyelid. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe it's really small, size of a BB. But it appears as the mouse big enough so that it's starting to irritate his eye, and so he'll it's mattery now.
Yeah.
I thought, well, maybe I can pop it. Maybe it's like a sty or something like that. I haven't had any luck, and it seems like it's getting bigger. Should I be concerned with that?
Well, the problem is you'll get it big enough that it'll rub against the cornea and make an abrasion.
Okay.
And then if it gets a scar, you'll have either a dark spot or, a pale spot, and you'll eventually impede the clarity of the cornea, so you'll have trouble seeing.
Can you freeze it off, burn it off, or cut it off?
You can cut them off.
Okay.
We do that a lot in older dogs.
Do you really?
A lot of them, when you cut into them, though, they're full of, like, putty.
Is that right?
So, before you do that, try maybe with a sterile needle or
Lancet?
Something.
I will.
And see if it'll ooze out. It's just gooey, gummy stuff.
I don't know. You've seen me shake.
Well.
Me poking a needle in dog's eye.
Eyes are tricky. Yeah, people get squeamish.
My dog will look cool with an eye patch. So there was a guy that had another whole 180. A guy in had a parrot rescue center in Belfouche, and I think we talked about that before. He relocated down to Boca Raton, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I will get emails from him occasionally. I think he's still trying to get me to adopt a parrot, which Beth has threatened me with divorce if I do. But he said they had a real nice one in there. And the reason the owner got rid of it was because it kept singing over and over the Tony Bennett song, "I Left My Heart in San Francisco." Now, I don't know if that's such a bad thing or not. I kind of like that song, but I suppose if you hear it all the time.
Get old after 20
or 30
times.
Yeah, probably so. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dr. Woody, my husband and I just got a brand new puppy. What is the safest immunization strategy to keep them free from contracting any diseases?
The normal recommendation is 3 doses of a distemper parvo vaccine, and we like to start those when they're about 8 weeks old if we can.
How long do you space them?
Generally 3 to 4 weeks apart. You should give them some worm medicine. The critical thing with a lot of these worm medicines is that you need to do it at a 3-week interval, maybe a couple of times. And when he's 4 months old, he can have a rabies shot. And that's kind of about the size of the vaccine. Now, if you camp a lot, you know, if you are out amongst ticks, you might consider Lyme disease. There's vaccine for that.
There is.
2-dose regimen as a puppy and then once a year. And the other thing that's come to the fore is this influenza problem, which may or may not be a trouble for you.
Can all of these injections be done at the same time?
We do them, and we don't seem to have much in the way of trouble.
Okay.
If you're going to have a reaction to the vaccine, it will be with multiple antigens, and the distemper is what they call a multiple antigen. There's distemper, hepatitis, parvo, coronavirus, parainfluenza, leptospirosis, just a whole aggregation
of
antigens. And that will give you a reaction a whole lot quicker than just a rabies shot, for example. And the reactions, thankfully, are a whole lot less than they used to be. Vaccine production is a whole lot better. A lot of it is engineered genetically. And that side effect of the, you know, whatever it was that's causing a reaction is not so much.
We're visiting with Dr. Woody Franklin from the Brookings Animal Clinic here, as we do a couple of times a month. Dr. Woody, what about having to worry about heartworm with all the mosquitoes that we have out there?
Well, there's not tremendous loads of heartworm in South Dakota. It is here, but it's not in large quantities. I used to treat 60 to 90 cases a year before I came here. And that was up on the Mississippi River where I was. It's just not in the mosquitoes here like it is there. But with more and more mosquitoes, greater and greater opportunity to bite into an infected animal, certainly a question.
So is that specific to a particular species of mosquito that we may not have here?
No.
Anopheles or whatever?
It's just a mechanical transport.
Okay.
You take it blood out of one creature and you stick another one in it. You know, they used to say, well, if you don't have this kind of tick or that kind of tick, you won't get Lyme disease. But they found out that that's a bunch of bunk. And I guess they've got a new one now. They're starting to find it never has been here before. More of a southerly oriented, classically species, which is apparently a much more aggressive biter than some of these others that we have around here. But yeah, they crack them open, and they have all the rickettsia and the Rocky Mountain spotted fever and the Lyme disease and all this other crud that they carry.
Yeah, I don't know which is worse, mosquitoes or ticks. At least mosquitoes, you have some indication. You know, you can feel them or they're buzzing around. They're sneaky ticks, though.
Yeah, statistically, the mosquitoes are more deadly. But
you know what else? You have to be careful if you pull a tick off. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how long it's been embedded. You know, some people think the longer that it's been his little nib stuck in you, the worse it is. But whether they just get in or they've been sucking blood for a while, you've got to be. They even make a thing now called the tick tornado, which, come on, you and I could have invented that. It's a widget that you slip under the little tick's head and then you pull it off. I mean,
and like that old thing we used to have, tweezers.
Fingernails, right? So you don't want to squeeze a thing and squeeze the juice into you.
Right.
But by the same token, you also want to make sure and get all the biting parts out.
I always encourage people to grasp them as close to the skin as they can and peel them off in the direction opposite to the tick's headed. So peel them backwards.
Okay.
And the way you know if you've got all that stuff out is you look at what you've pulled out and there'll be a little flake of skin around the parts, and you know you got the whole thing.
The shape of a triangle, I've noticed too sometimes.
Triangle, quadrangle.
But my daughter had one stuck between her shoulder blades, and just reached back there and pulled it off, left the head, and got a big lump.
Big.
And it took a while. They had to get antibiotics to cure it up.
No kidding.
And my dad got bit, And it was in his neck, close to his lymphatic system, mm-hmm. and he was really sick with that. They came to determine later that he was actually severely allergic to something that the tick was spitting into him.
Sure.
So well, you've got to be careful. Even they might be small, but they can cause you a whole bunch of problems.
Grief.
And your dogs can carry him in the house. And, that's the
tremendous
problem.
I'll come home from work, and I'll be sitting around in the chair. I've been dealing with dogs all day, and there'll be one crawling on my neck, you know.
I have found, too, at home, if you keep the grass mowed short around the house where the dogs are, I think that does help some.
It does help, yeah. Yeah.
With all the toads we have, I wonder, do they suppose they eat ticks?
I'm not sure. They might.
I'm going to do a little experiment, because they've got all those little bitty guys out there, you know, yay big or so.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
catch a tick and see. I'll let you know what they how they do. Dr. Woody, we have an 8-year-old golden retriever and got a couple lumps on his belly. We don't know if they're cancerous or could be something else. How do I know whether I should bring him in to be seen by you?
Well, if you have a growth that people confuse us a lot, but if it's a growth, it's a cancer. The question is it malignant? And an awful lot of these things are not malignant. If he's 8 years old, he's certainly old enough to have what's very commonly called a lipoma, which is a benign fat tumor. And those are generally not a bother, except sometimes they can get as big as a football, so people object to them being unsightly. But if you're concerned about it, if it's growing rapidly, if it's changing in its nature, if it seems to be spreading sideways or more strongly attached to the tissues underneath, you probably should have it looked at. And then you can get an idea about, what it might be, and if you're concerned, have it taken off and send it to the lab.
This is the time of the year we talked earlier about every species of fly that there is. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I, being a farm kid, I have an innate hatred of flies, especially maggots and what they do. If you have dogs, long-haired dogs, we'll say, that are outside, and, maybe they eat too much food and have the scours, is it a worry? And
every summer we have at least one, and it's the classic. It's the old fat dog that can't lick himself and probably wouldn't if he could, outside in a doghouse or in a kennel, and he's got a loose stool for some reason, like you say, and the maggots just cream them. And I don't know why it is, but in dogs, the maggots seem to elaborate some sort of a toxin that's really hard on kidneys. And a lot of these old dogs will die of kidney failure.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. And I don't know why that is. As far as I know, in horses or cows or anything else, it's not all that big a deal. But in these old dogs, they really seem to succumb quickly.
And the worst thing of all is there really isn't any outward indication, unless you're back there inspecting right away.
It's smelly, and you look at it and you think, he's covered with manure and I'll hose it off. And then you may see a little bitty hole, and you think, what's that?
Yeah.
And they start rolling out by the plateful.
What are screwworms?
They're a fly larva, very similar to maggot, type larva. But they're a species that's been eradicated. In the 20s, they eradicated them. they caused extreme economic loss. They'd get into cattle and just tear through things. And
were these a scourge from mainly down south?
Mexico.
Is that right?
And the way they did that is they caught a bunch of males, and they irradiated them and then turned them loose, made them sterile. And the idea that they only mate once ensured that there wouldn't be any babies for a while.
But wouldn't they have to irradiate an awful lot of flies to get any kind of a result or not?
They did considerable number.
They did.
This was in the 20s, and they turned them loose, and they had an extreme success. It's one of the few times where people try to interfere with nature and come up.
We score one for us, the good guys, right?
Right. But it was considered a real threat back in the 20s to U.S. livestock production.
Do we have, and we have bot flies here, don't we?
Sure.
And so if you're petting your dog and you feel a big lump someplace, could it be one of those?
Could. We see them a lot in rabbits in the summertime.
Rabbits?
Rabbits that are out in a kennel, with a wire
Why rabbits? Because they're outside?
I suppose it's because they're there and susceptible to.
See, I was wondering if it's pore size that makes it easier for them to lay their egg in there, but
I think they just bore. I think they bore in, you know, and it doesn't matter. Maybe the skin is softer on a rabbit than it is on a dog or a bull or something, but I'm not sure of that. One of the slickest things for fly control that I've ever seen is they have a non-stinging parasitic wasp, and it's about half an inch long, and it lays its eggs on fly eggs and consumes them.
Is that
the
a
larva
fact?
Consumes.
Have you seen the cicada killer wasps around lately? They're mm-hmm. out. They're out in forests, and mm-hmm. so you know you might be afraid of the yellow jackets and the paper yeah. wasps, but they're predaceous and they really do us a good turn.
You bet.
Don't monkey with their nest. Yeah. Yes. Mr. Henhouse Painter found out the hard way. Dr. Woody, I've noticed a lot of rabbits in the yard. They come mostly at night, and man, I'm wondering, is there anything that I can do to keep them away from eating everything up, flowers and garden things?
You almost have to put up chicken wire. There are repellents out there, but I think their efficacy is real marginal.
I used cocoa mulch. Got a big bag. Oh, that stuff stinks.
Dogs eat it and die.
Well, thank goodness we keep our dogs tied. They eat it and die?
Yeah.
Cocoa mulch?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, it's sold by Hershey's, and it just kills them dead.
No kidding.
There's enough of a chocolate residue that they like the taste of it.
I do know that I was outside wearing sandals as I scattered this big bag, and some of it got down on my feet. And when I went in the house, it's like, wow, I smell Hershey bars here.
Yeah, and had such clean feet in a long time.
It worked until it rained, I've noticed.
Yeah.
But now the bunnies have come back, and they've eaten off all the lettuce, and something has chewed off our onions and our corn, and I don't even know why I bother.
Well, they're commercial repellents, but most of the time people that I know that use them don't have very good luck. They just put up a chicken wire 3 feet tall, and it's the end of it.
I'm too lazy for that. I'll just go to the farmer's market and, you know, let somebody else worry about that.
Yeah.
I think my dog's pregnant, Dr. Woody. Should I bring her in for a test or an x-ray, or how can you tell?
Well, the real popular thing now is ultrasound. If you want to do an x-ray, they're supposed to be at least 19 days along to be radiolucent.
19? They can't be very big, can they?
No, but that's when they have enough calcium deposition that they show up on a
radiograph. They're reflective, then? Really?
Yeah.
You know, we had ultrasounds up on our refrigerator when the grandkids, you know, were before they were hatched out. I have a hard time imagining what my dog, you know, and ultrasound with a bunch of little puppies in there.
Yeah, we used it 40 years ago for sows, you know, to see are the guy wants
how
to
many?
Know, are they bred or are they
oh, I
bred?
See, sure.
And you just run it along the belly and add the gel, and you could tell.
Really?
It's pretty obvious, yeah.
Wow, that's just so cool, I think. My dad passed away about 3 months ago, and my mom's all alone. And we're thinking about getting her a dog, but, you know, we don't know what breed. Mom's in her early 70s, and she's pretty active for her age. Do you have any great suggestions as far as appropriate breeds for her?
We talked about that before, Bob, and the advantage of a breed is that a breed has a general tendency characteristic.
And they have a chart.
And there is. There's a guy named Benjamin Hart used to be a practitioner out on the West Coast that wrote a monograph, and it's called Cluster Breed Analysis, or Analysis of Dog Breeds. And you can get a dog that'll bark when you come in. You can get a dog that's easy to house train. You can get a dog that has high arousability. You can get a dog that learns quickly. You can get a dog that has low exercise tolerance. You know, take these things into consideration. If mom lives in an apartment, if she wants to walk 10, 20 blocks a day, she's going to need a dog that has some get up and go, not like a bloodhound, for example, or a basset hound. And take those things into consideration, and you can kind of pick a breed that might go real well with her lifestyle.
I wonder if she likes the song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, because I think I can get her discount on a parrot.
No parrots.
Yep. Dr. Woody, how often should I clean my cat's teeth?
I always encourage people to look at the gum line on teeth cleaning. When the gum line, which is normally straight across, starts to be elevated, then you know that the tartar is beginning to wedge between the gum and the tooth, and it's starting to allow bacteria to get in the system. And when that happens, it's time to get that off of there.
What causes the tartar buildup? Is it the stuff in your saliva as it coats your teeth? Is it a...
No, it's just a residue. There's a saliva aspect to it. But I had a woman once who was raising Siamese show cats, and she got into a strain of cats where they'd lose all their teeth by the time they were 2 years old.
Toothless cats?
Yep, and that's cleaning them every 3 months, all kinds of diets, all kinds of chews.
So you couldn't stop it?
No, it was a genetic
okay.
thing. That is my conclusion. Right. And I think there's a lot of genetics in teeth, both in dogs and cats.
That gives me an idea for our new sideline business, dentures for pets.
You'll go broke, kid.
Yeah, probably so. Well, a boy can dream, can't he?
Yeah.
Now, my cat recently started vomiting a couple of times a day, Dr. Woody. I wonder, is this normal? Should I worry about this?
It's a little excessive. I think if I had something like that, I'd get it checked. It can be hairballs, but it can be all kinds of other things, too.
You know, there's so many old wives' tales floating mm-hmm. around out there for pets. You know, feed your cat this if it's a hairball. And,
yeah.
and, you know, it makes you wonder sometimes how much of it you can rely on. There's a lot of great information on the Internet, but some of it you got to be a little leery of, don't mm-hmm. you?
Yeah, it doesn't always turn out the way it says on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of hairball problems that... basically are not appreciated. And, you know, people for some reason don't seem to want to use a hairball preventive routinely. So consequently, they get a cat that throws up. And I've had people a lot smarter than I am that say, if you don't ever feed them dry food, you won't ever have them throw up. And, of course,
really?
Everybody feeds them dry food.
Yeah. Can you just moisten it with water or milk or something?
Yeah, you can moisten it with water. Throw it in the microwave. It's just great. It goes right down. But... there are people that really know cats, you know, that'll swear up and down that if you use canned food, you won't have that problem.
I'll be darned. If you have a mother cat that's got some little kitties and they're long fur angora, you think that then the chances or the odds are of the mother, because, you know, she's going to lavish a lot of licking mm-hmm. love on those little kitties, developing a hairball,
yeah.
does it increase, do you
the
think?
The longer the hair and the more easily it comes out and the more assiduous the cat is about grooming. And we see this in households with multiple cats, too. You'll have one cat that'll lick the other ones because it likes to or whatever reason. And that cat will have more of a problem with hairballs than the one that's getting groomed. So there's an intake there that people don't always appreciate. And a tongue, you know, it's just like a bunch of needles sticking up and just
yeah.
pulls the hair right out.
You know, you think cows taste good on the outside? And the reason I ask you, a lot of times you'll see one cow standing licking the one yeah. next to it just for the longest time.
Cows do that. You know, I've seen them lick the paint off a pickup truck. I mean, I think it's part of nothing to do, small town, you know, like that. And that part of it is just the behavior. And it's
I've always wondered
thing.
That. It's like,
yeah.
does it provide comfort? You know, you'll see
yeah.
chimpanzees
yeah.
in a social setting picking right. flakes of
yeah.
skin off each other.
That's a social convention.
Or it tastes good.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, come on. See? If you have any questions for Dr. Woody, you would be more than welcome to mail them to us, KBRK Radio, 227 22nd Avenue South, and we thank you for that. You can also email them into us, KBRK. Studio at Brookings.net. Call them in. You can stop by and just hand deliver them to Dr. Woody or ask him yourself face to face.
We also just got a website going.
Yeah,
on.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's up and going. It's BACL at swifttel.net. And we'd be glad to respond to questions or comments on that.
Posting on the Internet now. Where's it going to stop?
That's what I've been wondering.
You'll have a smartphone next, won't you?
No.
I won't either. Doctor, well, you know what? It's always a pleasure to have you, and I cannot believe how quickly the time goes by.
Flies
any good
right
advice
on.
Out there that you can leave us with?
Keep them cool. Keep them vaccinated. Cold weather's coming.
I wonder. One more hot day. Doctor Woody, thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Bob.
Just a pleasure as always. Take care.
See
you in a couple weeks, okay?
Right.
And that's almost a wrap for me, and I want to thank you all for letting me be